Everybody, welcome to Girl Gone Frugal again. I'm your host, Michelle Jackson, and this is episode number 5 of the Foundation series. And today we're talking about picking the right conference to move yourself forward. This is ideal for anyone who's an adult. So if you are working for someone else, if you are self-employed, or if you're an entrepreneur, please do take some time to listen to the episode, think about what we're talking about, and find the best conferences to really move yourself professionally and personally forward in the upcoming year. Is about the time when most people are solidifying their conference attendance, like the different conferences they plan to attend. Hopefully you attended a couple of conferences in the year before, or maybe you never had the opportunity to go and you're like, I think it's time for me to go to one and check it out. Like, why are people so excited about them? And I'm going to kind of talk about why they're important, why people geek out about them, and the things that you need to think about before you pick the ones you go to. So in 2017, I attended 6 conferences. I'm not going to really say all 6, but I attended 6 conferences. A couple were in Denver. One was free. One was in Portland. Another was in Alabama. Yes, in Alabama. Another was in Texas. And I really had a very diverse and interesting experience. I learned that not all conferences are created equally. I learned that a free conference could exceed and surpass some of the conferences that I paid for. And I learned a lot about what I won't do moving forward as I go into a conference season. I'm very heavily focused on ROI, return on investment. And my goal is to spend as little money as possible on any conference and get as much as possible out of it that I can. In case you're wondering, I tend to average between $650 to $1,100, $1,100 on per conference, unless it's the free one that is Denver Startup Week, which obviously I don't have to travel to, and well, it's completely free. My goal whenever I attend a conference is to always earn my money back immediately. Literally within the week that I'm at the conference, set up enough clients and projects or opportunities to basically pay for attendance. So if I go to a conference, costs me $650, the idea is, well, maybe I have a project that I connected with because of that conference and that pays me $650. Like, I want to zero out and then make money beyond that. You should be thinking about that as well. You should not be paying tons of money and then that's it. Like, no. No. So please do not go to a conference, pay a whole bunch of money, and then be like, well, it was a great experience. No, you need to focus on return on investment. Okay. Whether you are working for yourself or for someone else, you should be attending at least one conference a year. Local conferences are great. So if you are a person, you've got little people, or you're not a traveler, no big deal. Local conferences are great. If you live in a smaller town, I'm sure there's a big city close enough to you that has conferences. And in fact, one of my favorite conferences to attend each year is Denver Startup Week, completely free. Some free conferences are worth attending, just as I mentioned before. Mark Cuban was one of the speakers. Yeah. Casey Neistat was the keynote speaker, the kickoff breakfast keynote speaker. So there is a lot of value in going to the right conference event. But there are some things that you need to think about and consider, and I'm actually going to just ask you a lot of questions to help you think about what is important to you. I will eventually create a PDF so that you can download it and have that for yourself later, but just so you know. Here is a question that I get asked, that I've been asked, which is, do you have to attend a conference for the field that you're actually working in? So if you're working for someone and you're like, well, okay, I'm going to attend a conference for myself, like kind of an outside of work kind of thing. No, you do not need to attend a conference in your field if you're not passionate about the field that you're in. However, do know that your skills are transferable. So if you are looking to become a professional blogger like I am, I've transferred all the skills that I gained from my regular 9-to-5 back in the day to what I do now. So no, you don't have to attend a conference that's in the field that you're currently in. But before you go, you do need to think about a couple of things. What's your goal? Like, what is your number one professional goal for the year or from that conference, from attending that conference? Will the conference help you achieve that goal? What is the overall cost to attend? So when you're looking at conferences, here are the things you need to keep in mind. There is the actual ticket price. I've seen conference tickets from free to over a grand. And I'm sorry, I'm never going to pay over a grand to attend a conference. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not interested in doing that because that's already too expensive. I just think that's ridiculous. I could use that grand for coaching instead of going to a conference. For me, I'm just not going to do it. I think the only exception might be Tony Robbins. Might. Okay. Transportation. So hotel, tickets, transportation, food, after conference, access to information, anything, any of the sessions that were run during that conference, do you get access to that? Do you have to pay for access to that? One of the conferences that I've been attending for many, many years, we now have to pay for access to that after conference information. It's a big change. I don't blame them actually for doing this. It's a lot of work to put that together and put it together in a cohesive way, but it is a change. So it's something to get used to, but I'm not surprised by it. Do they have events? Are events included in your attendance or are they extra? Is there a mix? Think about the overall cost to attend. So there's all that stuff. So again, hotel, tickets, transportation, food, after conference access, events, and any VIP things that you might have to pay for. So really think about, is it worth it to you to pay for all that stuff? Look at previous attendees' success rate. The tricky part about this is the conference attracting people who've already attained successful outcomes? Is the conference attracting people who are in the process of attracting these outcomes? Or is it a mix of people? Or is it a conference that's brand new, which can be very valuable in its own right? Because that is a great way to build community. A new conference, when it's in its infancy, if it's done really well, it could be a community that just really helps move you forward in the future as people attract success. Where exactly is the conference being held? Is it close or far from where you live? There was one conference that I attended and it was in a locale that I just had no intention of ever going to. I didn't know it existed. It ended up being a wonderful experience, a beautiful place, but I was not excited. And part of the reason why I ask people to consider where a conference is going is sometimes you have to think about this as your vacation time, given that many people don't get a lot of time off. So if it's in a location where you're like, I never want to go to this place and I have no intention of ever visiting it, it might not be appealing to go, just being honest. So if there's a conference in Miami, please, I am so there. I am so there. I'm so there. Austin, South by Southwest. One day, probably next year, I will definitely go. I'm very excited about that. But there are different places, which I won't name, where I'm like, I have nothing about this. It excites me. Like, why would I want to go? And so I would not go to that conference. Why waste my money on going somewhere that I have no interest in being at? That's just honest. How many days is the conference? So it could be for an afternoon, a day, 2, 3, 4 days, or 5, depending on how you approach the process of attending that conference or the content that is provided for attendees. How many sessions are there per day? Now, I'm going to be just super clear. There should be so many sessions that you have a hard time choosing which ones to go to. The reason why that should be the case is that signals that the conference team will be providing that information after the conference itself. So if there's so many, if they have so many sessions that you can't possibly attend, just can't attend all the ones that you want to go to, that means that there's a lot of care in developing great content for the attendees. That means that you'll have access to amazing content after, long after the conference is over. And that means that you have an opportunity to be a part of the conference, to show your expertise, to share your expertise. You should really be looking at how many sessions do they provide. If they only have 3 or 4 sessions per hour, that's a problem. And that actually happened at one of the conferences I attended last year. And I'm gonna be honest, I was pissed. I was pissed because I flew to this random ass location I never intended on ever going to. Even though the people were lovely, the food was lovely, like all that was good, but I'm not there for vacation. I'm there to learn. And so if there's not enough learning opportunities, it's a waste of my time. And literally there were 3 or 4 sessions an hour, and it was just really, really underwhelming. You should basically leave a conference like Thanksgiving dinner, weight it down on to-go platters. Like you should have all kinds of Tupperware with extra stuff that you take with you. Do they have a conference app? And if they do, do the attendees understand how to use it? Now, the tricky part about this is if it's the first year they roll out the app, no one's going to understand it because it's the first year. If it's the second year, then it should start to be a part of the culture of the community, and they should really understand how to actively use it so that it facilitates networking beyond the conference itself. You should be able to get on that app well before the conference starts and then have access to it for a while after the conference ends. You might not be able to have access to the app 7 months later, but maybe 3, 4, 5 months later, you should be able to get information, reach out to people, that kind of thing, or at least write it down so that you can do that later once they take the app down. Is there a way to see and reach out to attendees easily? One of the conferences I attended, I feel like it was the same one, that one just had problems. Anyway, I couldn't figure out who was attending the event, and it was really annoying because how am I supposed to collaborate, follow blogs, follow projects, listen to podcasts if I have no idea who you are? There was no active list, and it was really irritating. It makes no sense to have no area where you can find the people attending. If there are more than 100 people attending an event, you need a list. You need a list. If you are creating a conference, you're thinking about this kind of thing, you need a list, okay? Period. It could be because any of your attendees who have a blog, podcast, or vlog, they are out on public record. It does not mean that you share their telephone number. It just you share their projects. And if a person's really excited, they'll take the time to find their contact form and go from there. But it makes no sense to run a conference without that kind of information or access to it. And it's a huge pet peeve of mine, as you can tell, because I'm getting heated. Tell you. Okay. Are there opportunities to socialize in groups smaller than 50? Some of the conferences I'm attending now are huge. And even as an extrovert, it takes a lot of time and energy to get through all those people to have substantive connections. Look for opportunities to meet with people in groups of less than 50. Why less than 50? In fact, I prefer less than 30 because then you really get to know people. An example of that was I went surfing at FinCon 16, which was held in San Diego. It was to this day, one of my favorite events ever. There were about 20 of us. It was a really foggy, misty day. And we were just surfing off the coast of California. And it was a really special and fun experience. And I was really able to talk to people. I met people's babies, their significant others. It was just a lot of fun. We bonded as we drove from the conference hotel to where the surfing was going to be held and then back. So just think about those kinds of events, especially if you're an introvert. That is a great opportunity for you. If you're an extrovert in those smaller situations, please be hyper aware of the fact that you can, and I say this as an extrovert, you can be overwhelming to other people if you don't take it down just a notch. Be yourself but don't be all full 100% on blast with people. Let people get to know you, then go all in, okay? Does the conference have a closed Facebook group, Slack channel, or subgroups? A great example of this would be actually Podcast Movement, FinCon, which has gotten really, really large. So there are a lot of sub Facebook groups too. I belong to a couple of those subgroups, and it's been a lot easier to connect and meet with new people who've come into the community, which has been something that was a little tricky. Like all this year, I realized, or rather in 2017, I was like, oh my God, who are all these new people? Like, I have no idea who they are. And it just was really surprising to me, because I know a lot of people in this community. I've been in it for a long time, but there were a ton of new people and I had no idea who they were. But because I'm in some of the smaller groups in the digital space, if you will, I was able to meet them and know what their work was and really get to know them. And it's been really nice. So if you have an opportunity to be a part of smaller working groups or Facebook groups, Slack channels, whatever it is, I highly recommend that you do that. Be mindful that it could also affect your productivity, so be careful. Is the community welcoming before you attend the event? If you ask questions, how nice are they when they answer? Are they answering the questions you ask? Are people fired up about the event? If they're not, then maybe that's a problem. What's the website quality? With the exception of a first year event, and even then, I'm going to say it's possible to make those pretty decent. The website says a lot about the event. The event that I attended, oh my God, now that I think about it, the event that I attended last year that I was just like, I'm so pissed off. There are a couple of problems with the website. One is the website's really dated. And so for the size of the event itself, it makes sense for them to update the website. It just does. It's clunky. It's hard to navigate. It's just not at the level that it needs to be at for an event like what they're trying to do. So basically, it needs to be improved upon. And if you're unwilling to spend $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, depending on what you're going to do for the website, I worry that the attendee experience before and after is going to reflect that website. Just being honest, a wonderful website that's super simple, super easy to navigate, very clear, that was from a first year event, was my friend's Lola Retreat website. They did a really good job of showing who the avatar, the ideal attendee would be, information about the why, the passion behind the conference itself, even though they call it a retreat, but in my mind, it's basically a conference. They had an area where you could easily purchase tickets. I don't think that they had a list of attendees, but I think in that case, it was fine because it was 100 people or less. More than 100 people, you need a list. They are at like 75, 80 attendees. So that's a little different. And you should check out Lola Retreat this year. It will be in New York City. And I will share a link in my show notes. How approachable is the founder or the committee or the conference staff? If you have something like Tony Robbins, Embrace the Power from Within, or whatever his thing is called, obviously, you're not going to hear from Tony, okay? That man is all over the place, dunking his head in ice and cooling off and talking. So no, you're not going to hear from him directly, probably, because he's all over the place. But you're going to hear from his team. And so when you start asking questions before you ever buy your ticket, how quick are they to respond? And is the response pleasant, clear? And I'm not saying that they should be responding in 5 minutes. I get sick of people having unrealistic expectations, but within 24 to 48 hours, there should be a great response to whatever question you've asked them. If that doesn't happen, that's an issue. Because if you need a refund or something happens, what's going to happen then? What's the dress code? Ask yourself, do you want to be dressed up the whole time or don't you? How comfortable will you be? I typically am attending conferences where I can just dress the way that I dress. Like, I don't have to worry about how I look. I do try to look nice because I am really growing my personal brand, but I don't have to be anything beyond who I am. If you are a super dressy person and you want to go to a conference that's like super low key, that's fine, but just be aware of it. Are the attendees collaborative or competitive? Examples of this would be, you can kind of figure this out before you ever attend a conference. An example of this would be how they talk about the opportunities that are out there, if they're protective of them because they're afraid that you might, if they're protective of an opportunity that they're kind of working on and they don't want to tell people and you can tell, that is an example of a competitive space. If they're collaborative and they're like, hey, I can't do this, but I'm going to share this information with you, that is really, that's a huge, huge thing. If you're trying to do any kind of work or grow your life, you want to work with people who are collaborative because they'll tell you about cool things that are happening. You've worked through this whole list of things, you've considered them all, you've figured out what conferences are going to work for you. Here are examples of how a conference can move you forward after you've attended. You have better connections. You'll get information on job opportunities. If you have no interest in working for yourself, but you work for other people, you work in different fields, feeling stuck and you don't know where to start with a job search, going to a conference is a great way to get ahead on that. I used to attend a conference called NAFSA, which was the National Association for International Educators. I was an administrator. They used to call it something else, but I was an administrator, and it was great because we had both a regional conference and a national conference. The regional conference was really cool because that was a great opportunity to show your expertise. You could run a session. Basically, you'd have to pitch it and they'd have to pick it. Those regional conferences were held in really cool areas in your region. So for me, I think the last one I attended was in Bozeman, Montana. It was phenomenal. Oh my God, Bozeman is gorgeous. If you like nature, if you don't, then don't bother. But if you like nature, go. It's stunning. Anyway, those kinds of conferences as a person working for other people are really important because then you learn about opportunities that come up. You'll meet people who are like, yeah, I'm pregnant. I'm about to leave my job because I'm going to be home with baby. You'll meet people who are like, hey, I'm moving because my significant other is just got a huge opportunity. So we're going to move. And so you'll hear about those kinds of things happening. And then that signals to you that there's an opportunity in that office. And because you've networked with these people, had fun with them, what have you, when you submit your application, your resume, they'll know who you are. And that's the key. People need to know who you are. And actually, I'm leading into the final podcast episode in the Foundation series, which is why networking has to be on your to-do list. You'll get access to resources to grow your own expertise if you attend a really good conference. You'll get the ability to position yourself as an authority, and hopefully you'll have people reaching out to you to work on future projects or collaborate on different things. That should be your return. I will say one thing about conferences that are held in October. Those are interesting because what will happen, and I noticed that with this previous FinCon. So typically FinCon is held in September, and this past year it was held in October. And I did a great job networking. I got my ROI, like I'm pretty happy, but I am now getting reached out to by several people that I networked with for projects, and that happened all this week. So people just kind of disappeared. I was like, well, dang, like, did this work? And then, or we had a preliminary meet, like a phone call or what have you, and then nothing really happened from there. And now I'm getting people who are out of the holiday mode, they're done with the whole holiday wrap up, and they're ready to start putting together content and projects and things like that moving into spring. So I've already been contacted by several of these types of opportunities this week. So just know that if you attend a conference that is in late October, it's highly likely that the business seeds you plant won't bloom until January. I hope this was helpful. Make sure you grab a copy of the Unapologetically Money Hungry Money Manifesto that I am sharing with people. I think it's good to declare your intentions with money. And I look forward to sharing the final episode of this series, which is why networking has to be on your to-do list. Bye.